The good works is a supernatural good works. Should be understood that way because it's always operating in his glory. So, and you know, people, good works, well, I made apple pie and brought it to my neighbor. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the supernatural that Jesus showed. And it's, again, in the very next chapter. It's in Matthew. And he says, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. For your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things should be added on. The added on, it's the increase, because where it's a natural by walking in his glory. So when God does, when he asks us to do things, he doesn't ask us to do things he himself hasn't already done. So when he's saying, don't worry, on every occasion, supernaturally, he manifested the glory to meet those three that's talked about there in Matthew, because they were in the desert and supernaturally they had water manifested, and they were in the desert still and supernaturally they had bread, manna that came down every day, and supernaturally their clothes never wore out. So all of that was a manifestation of his glory, which is the other half of the covenant in communion. With you, nothing is impossible. But we don't factor that in. And that's part of the skill level, that he has to have our minds renewed. So we don't take that as common. We take that as holy and place it where it has a greater value than anything else. With him, nothing is impossible. So that I know his glory is greater than whatever the condition is always. That's the default that he's training our minds to be disciplined in. So when now coming into this, where he's talking this manifestation of his glory, those are the good works. And so when he was measuring, he says, either believe the words I say or the works I do. Well, the good works is what we're able to measure too, because we can see the results. And what we know is there's nothing we did to make that happen. We just followed the Holy Spirit. Well, God needs a lot of that happening in our life, manifesting, because then he says in Revelation 2:26, he talks about a realm that's a promotion. He says, he that keeps my works and overcomes and keeps manifesting and overcomes and keeps manifesting and overcomes, I will give promotion. I will give them authority over nations. So it's not just a city that's lit up the, it's not just a light that's lit up the whole city. It's a whole nation. And he's talking about that. We have that kind of authority. So it goes from glory to glory to glory. So all I need to do is just work in the sandbox. That's all I really need to do. But he's trying to show us all the evidences, how it's already done, and how we're picking up on revelation to move that direction. And so that it has to cut through a lot of things that are undisciplined in our thinking. So somebody's sick, the Bible says, past tense, by his stripes you were healed. So that's true. It's not something I promote and earn. It's already true, but now it's spiritually, it's elusive. How do I grab onto that? So what he's trying to do is train my mind that that's true. So if that's true, then my mind has to be disciplined to access that and not this ripples over here that's drawing my attention. And so the way that I can do that and solidify that in my spirit is he talks about that in Hebrews, and he says that my mouth brings this sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. So I just thank you, Father, for your favor. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. It's a simple way to come in. Another simple way, I just start worshiping. It's a simple way to come in. Another, I just pray in tongues. It's a simple way, because that simple way, he was already training in the sandbox because we were getting results all the time. So I just do that. And he says that in John 13:32. He says, that if God is glorified in me, God will glorify me in himself, and he'll do it immediately. Well, that was Jesus speaking about himself. So if we were to ask the question, we would never have a doubt in our mind that God is not glorified in Jesus. We know that he is. But Jesus added an if where it doesn't make sense. Well, because he's the bread of life. Now, this is why it's really important. If it is already accomplished in Jesus, those that nutritional value that's in the bread of life shows up in me. So he placed that nutritional value of if God is glorified in Larry, then God will glorify Larry in himself, and he does it immediately. He will move me straight away from the ripples on the pond right into perfect peace immediately. So I'm going to read some verses here in Romans so that you can see how important it is to grab and start separating and using the wisdom of the Holy Spirit how to separate, because it changes the dynamics, what it is forever. It's like, here's a verse. I'll show you the two that Jesus said. That they were offended every time he said a present tense condition of the glory. He says, I am. Well, he's the Lord of glory. So every time he said, I am, that's the glory talking, and that's how the glory is. So he said, I am the true bread from heaven. Okay, when he said that, they already experienced supernatural bread on a daily basis in the desert. Jesus identifies that exact one and compares it with glory. That was faith knowledge. Jesus is talking glory. He's the Lord of glory. He's not the father of faith. So when he's talking, he says that your fathers ate the bread that was in the desert, and they all died, physically died. He that eats this bread himself will never die, but live forever. And it's like, well, what was the difference? Because he's talking about that is, and that's the kind of nutrition that's in that bread of life that Jesus is. So then he says another present tense condition of his glory, and he says this, I am the door, present tense. And he says this, he that enters shall be saved. And that's where a lot of the church drops it off. They just have this idea of entering in shall be saved, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But everything that Jesus said, he said it like this to make sure that we had that everything in our thinking. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So here's the other mouth of God words that came out of Jesus' mouth. He says, shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. God is saying, I want your tongues and your ears and your eyes so disciplined that you know how to go in and out and manifest it into this realm where pasture is. So bring it from heaven's realm into this earth realm, because you're the vessel of glory. You're the one that's carrying it in. I made covenant so that it's poured in you. Now it's being poured out of you. So we're the river of life. We're the light of the world. We're the ones that are making the changes. So if there's no changes in my bedroom, it's because I didn't do anything. And so he's saying, go in and out. Oh, so there's a discipline that I have to know. How do I see those things in the spirit? How do they hear those things in the spirit? How do I taste those things and make them physical? Well, the transfer, it's mostly because of the words I say. Because he says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it's what I grab, the word and the wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And that's what manifests in this physical realm. Because I transferred it. He transferred it in here and he quickened it. It comes out of my mouth. So the next portion, this is why it becomes a reality. That's different than what normal Christianity is being taught. Just going in and being saved is great, but he's talking about that we have a function here, and our function is to so shine the light that it affects and transforms the whole realm that he assigned us. That's our function, why we're here. So anything that's messed up in our bedroom can be fixed, transformed. Only our minds, we never thought, well, all we could do is pray. I mean, that's usually the answer. And that's common, but God isn't condemning, but he's trying to bring us up higher. So then here's the language that does the separation. That's why I'm going to read Romans 8, but I'm going to show you why. Jesus said it, and it's in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And he says something, it's just so powerful, but it doesn't get spoken like it's powerful. It gets missed. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, separation in the spirit. And he shows you that it is a distinction in what he just said. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he shows you down this column over here. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall be raised again. Definition of resurrection.